In the year 29, when the weather was fine, sure I straighted me way to the sweet fair of Trinford to sell a fine swine. Sure it was my design, she was plump, but and fair and complete in each limb. Now the swine was as mild as a lamb or a child. You could beat her all over the world with a twig and the truth for to tell. I'd sell her right well, £3 10 was the price that I got for my pig. With the cash to meet thigh, I went out roving by. I went out for a drink like a roving young buck, when this handsome young dame that belonged on the game, well, she up to me came to be sure for good luck. She tipped me the wink to go in for a drink, and we had a few steps of a nice double jig. Tennessee's round, well, she slipped her hand down, and she left me quite scarce of the price of my pig. So to Navan next day, well, I straight me way, for I heard people say that this dame had been seen, and with what I got there, having some time to spare, well, I wept at my cares with a drop of pachy. Now the first to come in was old Tatter Jack Flynn, and we danced a few steps of a nice double jig. Thinking I by and by that I'd soon set me eye on the maid that did rob me the price of my pig. Well, be Tara, be Screen, be the Bog of Armeen, be John Paddy McGee, be the High Hill of Howth, be the Church, be the Bells, be the Great Book of Kells, for to swear any more, do you know that I'm loath? If the Lords of Mayo had but heard of me, well, I'm sure they'd come down in a chaise or a gig, and they'd search island round till the maid would be found, and then clapper and bound for the price of my pig. I'll go my shuttle, I'll throw, and from drink I'll refrain, and I'll stick to my loom while my oath it's in bloom, and I'll never be caught by a strumpet again. Sincerely I'll swear it, and swear it sincere, if a week should go by, or a month, or a year. Action, I'll have satisfaction all on the transaction that cost me my pig.
Music there from a group called Cuig, which means five in Irish Gaelic, and sure enough, there are five members of the group. A great story song there called The Pig. It's off of the album Prospect by Queeg. And we're getting into that season of the year when it is time to hear stories. And oh, do we have a good one for you a little later this evening, starting probably about 7:25 or so. We're going to put on Cole Cannon's masterpiece. It really is a masterpiece. It's a fabulous, fabulous piece of art. It's spoken word and music, and it's called The Pooka and the Fiddler. And if you've not heard it before, you owe yourself a listen this evening. And if you have heard it before, like me, you've probably been delighted before, and you know that it's worth another listen. Before Queeg, we heard the Chieftains leading off the evening in fine style. Up Against the Buchalons is the title of that. It's off of an old album. Gosh, it's got to be more than 30 years old now, called Boil the Breakfast Early by the Chieftains. But it still sounds awfully fresh and a lot of verve, and it's a great listen. We've got music coming up from Danu, music coming up from Clonid, and then in its turn, music from Cole Cannon. And we need to let you know about a very important event that's coming up this weekend. It is Mouse's Pi R Square Dance, but don't let me give it all away. Let's listen to somebody that really knows about it.
In 1896, the Daily Camera advertised a Sunday meal whose grand finale was rhubarb and lemon pies. In the 1950s, Jack Kerouac ate apple pie in Longmont and enshrined it in On the Road. In 1975, Charlie Papazian of Boulder declared his own birthday as National Pie Day. Continue our rich pie history at the third annual Mouse's Pie R Square Dance. It's Sunday, October 5th at 5 p.m. at the Oddfellows Hall upstairs from the Boulder Army Store. We'll have plenty of pie, coffee and tea, great old-time music, and lots of dancing and lessons for the dancing impaired. Please bake a savory dinner pie or sweet dessert pie and get a reduced price ticket at the door. KGNU.org or call 303-449-4885 for details. Remember, a triangle is the best way to round out a square dance meal.
Scholte Gale is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by The Celtic Connection. The Celtic Connection is a monthly newspaper for all people with an interest in Celtic news, music, language, culture, and tradition. For subscription information, visit CelticConnection.com or call 303-777-0502.
Thank you.
Music there from Danu, and appropriate to the season, we started off there with a barn dance. It's called, the name of the tunes on the album is called Around the House, but it's Dermy Diamond's Barn Dance, and then John Doherty's Pipe March, and Around the House and Mind the Dresser, and then they end up with... Around the House and Mind the Dresser by Charlie Lennon, which was part of his Immigrant Suite. Prior to that, music by Clannad from the album Past Present, which included a number of cuts that Clannad did as the soundtrack for the movie Robin Hood many years ago. And Lady Marian was the name of the cut that we heard there. Very beautiful and somehow kind of appropriate for a fallish evening like we have this evening. And as I mentioned earlier, we're kind of in storytelling mode right now, and I can't think of a better way to celebrate the season. And storytelling is a fall and winter pastime in many cultures. You can think of the ghost stories of New England or Ireland, and the Pooka and the Fiddler sort of fits into that tradition as well. Dene, the Navajo people of the American Southwest, tell stories during what they call the season when thunder sleeps. And in many cultures, when people take refuge indoors and sat by the fireside, it was a time to tell stories and recount tales of things that happened when people could be out and about for hours and hours at a time. And in that tradition, one of my very, very favorite stories is one that Mick Bolger and his comrades in Colcannon put together a number of years ago, nearly 10 years ago, I think, for a festival in California. And Mick tells the entire story about the creation of Pooka and the Fiddler on the Colcannon website, which is colcannon.com, colcannon.com. And I adjure you to take a look at the website. All kinds of great stuff. Recipes turn up there from time to time, information about the band and their new efforts or where they're going to be playing. It's a terrific website for a band which has been a mainstay of Colorado Celtic music for a generation and a half. I know that my son grew up, and my daughter too grew up on the music of Colcannon at concerts, in venues all over the metro area. And if you have a chance to see Colcannon perform Pooka and the Fiddler live, don't miss it. But for now, you're going to have a chance. Pull up a chair by the radio or stretch out by the fireside and entertain your ears and your imagination with this.
Is the story of Sean Shemishin Donacha Bon, who met with a Pooka one night near the townland of Kilfarn.
Pooka,
Once upon a time it was. The tale I tell is true. Some details here and there are changed, but nothing false or new's been added. Nothing changed and nothing padded to make the tale ring better. Fact and nothing else, down to the very last letter. So, once upon a time it was, as I've already said, there lived a lad, hardy, strong, but too fond of his bed, into which he'd crawl at dawn, nor leave till darkness fell. The crossroads crowd, the dance hall lads, the late nights knew him well. A fiddler of the feeble kind, dull and slow of skill, oblivious of his sawing bow, his clunky fingers, the shrill, grating, grinding, awful noise that marked him far and near, a murderer of music. Until one night, but here. The hero of our story, if hero is the word, was a fiddler of poor degree, as you have just now heard. His name was Sean, a worthy name that on itself has brought some fame when appended to the deeds of others. But Sean Shamashin was only Sean. Lazy as the day is long, who never did a tap of work, and if he'd had his druthers, would spend his days curled up in bed. A lazy, lumpen, sleepy head. His poor widowed mother strove to keep him home, to weed the garden, thatch the roof, or dig some turf. But Sean would only sleep and roam, but not for mischief or for harm. His fiddle underneath his arm, he went in search of dance and caley. Improvement ever came upon his fiddle playing. He'd saw away unmerrily, like some poor donkey braying, dropping notes, ignoring phrases, putting stops in awkward places, either playing too fast or slow, attempting tunes he didn't know, while people only shook their heads and wished that Sean had stayed in bed. And manners once again dictated that things that needed to be stated once again remained unsaid. And Sean assumed that all was well. But now the time has come to tell the story that unfolded, exactly the very way the man who told me told it. It was late one night, past 2 o'clock, 2 hours yet before the cock would crow, announcing summer morning. Sean Shamashin was on the road, making way for home, his fiddle boxed beneath his oxter, humming tunes he meant to learn. When he thought he'd save a bit of time and cut across some stranger land and take a short cut home. He'd never been this way before, but he was absolutely sure that 2 miles there, towards the hill, drop down a bit, head west until he'd meet the Kilfaun Road. He'd cut an hour off his walk and make it home by dawn. He hoped. The moon was nearly full, fat and gibbous in the sky. Sean Shamashin climbed up the ditch and down the other side and found himself in an open field, rocky, rough and wide. And there, 100 yards away, directly in his path, a low and sulky wood, half hidden in the dark. So whistling up his courage, Sean Shamashin embarked. The scudding clouds made racing shadows running on the ground. The wind that breezed through the ancient trees moaned a mournful, lonely sound. And it seemed to him that things were watching from shadows all around. But he puckered up his courage and whistled on his way and wham! Walked straight into a tree that somehow he had failed to see or had seemed to step in front of him. A hairy tree, a leg, a haunch, a knee? Clutching fast his bleeding nose, he looked up from the ground where 9 feet up a smiling face was calmly gazing down. A bearded chin, 2 shining eyes, 2 horns grew from his head. The silence broke as the figure spoke. "You're late," was all he said. "I'm what? You're who? Who said?" "Oh my. The Pooka. The Pooka, tall as a rowan tree, a giant goat on his hind legs, who wore the clothes of long ago, a long dark coat to his goaty knees, a bunch of lace at his goaty throat, a velvet waistcoat dark as wine, a chain of gold for his pocket watch, his breeches, worsted tweed and dark, gathered at the knee, and there below his goaty shins, a pair of great split hooves. Grab your fiddle, lad, and shape your wits to sense. It's getting late, we've far to go, so gi's your hand." He bent and held the frightened lad around his trembling middle, and in a trice had raised him up above his goaty head and placed him on his back. "Hold tight," he said, and leaped, as only goats can leap, as only Pooka goats can leap, high up into the starry night. Shay Machine held on like death, his face and knuckles white, and held his breath and clenched his teeth and kept his eyes scrunched tight as the wind blew through his tousled hair and fear blew through his life. "Don't be afeard," the Pooka said. "Pretend it's just a dream. And by the way, in all the haste, I never got your name." "Shay Machine Donachabon," Sean Shay Machine replied. "And don't forget the fiddler part," the Pooka said, and smiled. "The fiddler? Oh, aye, but if the truth be told, I'm not much of a fiddler." "Oh, you are a fiddler, right enough, a fiddler true and bold, and young in years with time enough." Now, Sean, you have to understand, had never said those words before, "I'm not much of a fiddler." But it's known well in Pooka lore that one will always speak the truth before a Pooka, and the Pooka too will always speak the truth to you. The Pooka sees and shows even things we do not know are hidden in our souls. He comes when we have things to learn, but not to everyone. Few can see him in his form, which often strikes such fear that though his words be wise and full of truth, people will not hear. "Tarlaco Fasak Magilagaur the Pooka, at your service," said the Pooka with a nod. "Sorry for the awful rush, but time is pressing hard, and we must travel far before the hour is done." time sped by. At first, Sean Shamashin could recognize mountains, valleys, silver rivers in the light that shone from the summer moon. But soon the dark crept in, and the cold came too, and the stars went out, and all about was black and vast and silent. Except that somewhere in his mind, just beneath his hearing, fiddle tunes were playing. Almost. Like something you cannot quite remember, just beyond his recognizing. Fiddle tunes. Sean Shamashin, wake up, we're here. Sean startled from his dream. The puka stood above him, looking down. Sean looked around, saw nothing but a sky of black and grey eternal ground. But as he looked again, he thought he saw the stars flickering far above. Then he noticed that the ground was smooth and not grey as before, but tiled in black and white, like a giant gaming board. And looking yet again, as he thought, up to the sky, the stars were 100 chandeliers hanging from on high. He saw no walls or ceiling, no limit to the room that stretched off all around him. "Time to tune," said the puka. "Get your fiddle out." Sean bent to get his fiddle out and tightened up his bow, and plucked the strings and tuned the pegs for notes too high or low, and wondered where this place might be and what the puka had in mind. And come to think of it, a puka? Who'd ever heard of such a thing? I mean, he'd heard the stories, who had not? But there's no such thing as a puka.
What?
What?
"I believe I heard you say something," the puka said with a little smile. "You can put your fiddle on the table there if you want to sit. There's a chair." And sure enough, in that little while, all kinds of grand and elegant style of tables, chairs and tapestries, and a ceiling with a plaster frieze, and walls with paintings, mirrors bright, fixtures of a fine delight, had filled that empty place. Like a ballroom in a palace, a huge and shining space. "So now," the puka said, "the job you're here to do is to play upon your fiddle for that assembled crew." And he pointed to a table further down the hall, where 7 grand old ladies, dressed up as for a ball, were seated for their dinner. And each of these old ladies wore a gown of different hue. One was dressed in ermine white, another topaz blue. A third was dressed in claret red, another emerald green. The fifth was dressed in a gown of black as the blackest coal e'er seen. The sixth was dressed in yellow like the early morning sun. The seventh wore a cobalt blue. But the face of every one looked exactly like the face of every other. Flat, impassive, not a smile or frown, blank, unblinking, looking straight ahead, as if no thinking, feeling creature lived behind those pale, unmoving faces. They sat impassive at appointed places, at the table, all with riches laden, crystal, silver, finest china, flowers, candles, wine decanters, as men in livery brought finest dishes to fulfill no apparent wishes. "The Merry Sisters of Misery," said the puka with a frown,
need a bit of cheering up and a bit of glooming down. These days they're not as merry as they really ought to be, and frankly, I wouldn't call that boredom misery. They seem to be marooned in between the two extremes. So a little bit of music is what we need, it seems. So I've brought you here, Sean Shamashin, to move them in their souls, to make them feel their hearts again before their hearts grow cold. First you play a Galdhtri, a tune to welcome tears. Next you play a Gyanthri to welcome light and cheer. Third you play a Soonthri to ease the troubled mind. Three tunes you play, Sean Shamashin, one of each three kinds. Sean Shamashin was standing with his fiddle and his bow. The trouble is, he said abashed, there's only one tune that I know. Not so, the Pooka said. You know your head is full of song, but first you have to listen for the tune to come along. So listen to your sadness, and when you draw the bow, the tune inside will play itself and become a tune you know. So play a Galdhtri for us and bring us back our tears. Sean drew the bow across the strings and played what you shall hear. And the music drifted softly as it eased throughout the hall. And the servants looked around them as they heard the fiddle's call. And the sister dressed in topaz heaved a deep and heavy sigh. And the sister dressed in claret red wiped a tearful eye. And the sister dressed in emerald green began to sob and cry. And the gloom descended deeper as the music rose on high. When Sean had finished playing, a silence filled the hall, except for Sister Emerald, who had not yet ceased to bawl, and who burbled through her teary sobs, "I never in my life heard such a lovely tune as that. Never heard the like." And Sean, too, was astonished and puzzled even more. How could he recognize a tune he'd never heard before? How was it that he played it with such a sure grace and made it sweet and elegant in note and tone and phrase? And more than all the strangest things that happened yet that night, the meeting in the ancient wood, the Pooka's midnight flight, stranger than the strangeness of his fleecy, hairy host, the strangeness of his playing is what perplexed him most. As he turned to ask the Pooka, the Pooka clapped his hands. "And now let's have a Gyanthri and maybe a wee dance." Thank you.
the fiddle, the sisters took the floor, and their eyes were bright with laughter where tears had been before. And they kicked and spun and cantered like a flock of month-old goats, and heeled and toadied round the room to the swirling, spilling notes. And they laughed and ducked and backstepped and clapped their hands in time, and lilted with the chorus back and forth in rhyme. And they spun in giddy circles and laughed and whooped and cheered as the sister dressed in emerald green swung from a chandelier. Sean played with grace and fire to the laughing dancing house, his fingers fast and elegant and nimble as a mouse. And as the last note sounded and to the rafters rang, the sister dressed in emerald threw back her head and sang.
Oh,
Sean finished off the Pigtown fling with a flourish of the bow. While the sisters gasped to catch their breaths, he started to play low a soontry, a tune to welcome rest, to bring the mind back to itself like a bird home to its nest. And as he watched the sisters settle back into repose, he noticed how their faces were all now different. I suppose, he thought, being sisters, they'd look all much alike, and boredom looks like boredom, and maybe in that light. But no matter how he tried, he still had to confess that no one of these sisters looked anything like the rest. While earlier that evening they'd only had one face, now seven different people were sitting in their place. When the last reposeful note had gently died away, Sean felt a sadness hold him, but the sadness held no sway, for a little laugh came bubbling up, and he smiled to think that he, Sean Shamashin Donnacabon, had played so beautifully, and he wondered yet again how such a thing could be. "Well done, Sean Shamashin," the pooka said, a fiddler true and bold. "You've done good work this very night. Your fee shall be in gold. Each sister sends a golden coin. Yon emerald lass sends too. And for helping me fulfill this task, I have a gift for you. The gift I have is modest. It's a gift that you have wrought. And you must work it once again, or else it come to naught. The ease with which you played tonight is proper to this place. It's a skill that sleeps within you. You may waken at a pace if you remember what you've learned this night. So, fiddler, to your task, and learn your trade aright. Those tunes you played this evening by rights belong to you, and many more are waiting for you to bring them through. As you played, I wrote them down, though you played them all by ear, lest the memory of this evening should fade or disappear. And he handed Sean a paper with the notes all jotted down and a purse of clinking golden coins, sovereigns, not crowns. The folded yellow paper and the purse of coins of gold he placed inside the fiddle case of the fiddler true and bold. Then he said, "It's time to take our leave. Your journey work is done," and cast a sidelong glance at Sean and smiled at his own pun. "So grab your fiddle and your wits and let's be on our way, and get you home by morning to sleep the day away." Sean began to stammer and blush to crimson red. "That's all right," said the pooka. "I too like my bed." Then Sean looked all around him, and the ballroom was no more. Gone the crystal chandeliers, gone the checkered floor. No tables, chairs or paintings, no tapestries, no walls. The seven merry sisters gone, vanished with the hall. Nothing, only grey half-light, and behind him one large door. "Tarlach o Fasach Magilagaur the Pooka at your service one time more." The journey home was quicker, and he placed Sean on his back, and he pushed the great door open and leaped into the dark. Darkness and the silence that Sean had known before lasted just a second as they leaped out through that door. Then the night was full of starlight, and ever in his ears fiddle tunes were playing, but this time sounding clear. And they seemed to sail some gentle breeze that lifted them on high, and Sean could see the world below as light came to the sky. Then the stars grew great and twinkling and seemed to fill his mind, and he closed his eyes, then opened them, only to find he was standing by the roadside, underneath a tree, with dappled summer sunshine twinkling through the leaves, on a lovely summer morning, standing all alone, the pooka gone, the hours fled, across the road from home. There stood his little cottage, with the weeds growing from the thatch, and the garden left to ruin where the hens would dig and scratch. And then he heard his mother calling him by name, "Sean Shemeshin Dunakapon." And he hung his head in shame as she came running from the kitchen and hugged him to her breast. "Where have you been, Sean Shemeshin? I've not had any rest. I've been worried almost senseless. You've been gone nearly 2 days." Sean sat down by the roadside, his thoughts all gone ahaze. The pooka and the sisters. The memory was still clear. He opened up his fiddle case. The purse of gold still there. The pooka's jotted music notes still folded by its side. He took his mother by the hand and said, "Let's go inside. When Sean had told his mother the story up and down, he said, "The first thing I shall do is take a walk to town and talk with Paddy Gallagher to come and fix the thatch. And while he's working at it, I'll have him let me watch so I can keep it well repaired and all in fitting order. And this afternoon I'll dig those weeds and start a winter garden. Oh, and lest I be forgetting some most important things, if I'm going to practice fiddling, I'm going to need new strings." And his life began to flourish, beginning on that morn, and the neighbours stood in wonder where once they'd scoffed in scorn. And all the things he said he'd do, he did, and did them well, and worked hard at his fiddling, and time began to tell the story of his fiddling skill, the sweetness of his tone, and the air so strange and lovely of the tunes that were his own. And of all the tunes he played, they were two, or maybe three, when he'd smile and say, "The Pooka gave that one to me." And many years later he'd meet the Pooka once again. But that's a different story, and this one's at an end.
Music from Cole Cannon and Mick Bolger on vocals with the inimitable story of the Pooka and the Fiddler. If you'd like more information on the story or on the band, you can go to colecannon.com, colecannon.com, and all kinds of great information there for you. Our time together for this first Wednesday in October is at an end. Musica Mundi is coming your way, and do give a listen to the other DJs who host Schulte Gale coming your way on Wednesday here on KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland, and around the world on the web at kgnu.org. Thank you.
program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the 12th Annual Moab Folk Festival. The Moab Folk Festival takes place from November 7th through 9th in Moab, Utah, and includes performances by Richard Thompson, Ellis with Moores and McCumber, John Fulbright, Shook Twins, and many more. For information, go to www.moabfolkfestival.com.
Good evening and welcome to Musica Mundi. My name is Uket, your host for this evening, and thank you for joining us. Today we have a special guest here at the studio, Kathleen, Vice President of Boulder, Cuba, sister city. And we're going to talk about upcoming event this October in Boulder. As festival, art and music festival. So we're going to come back right after this music. Let's hear some Afro-Cuban music just beginning the program, and enjoy. Of course, if you have any comment or request, the phone number to call 303-442-4242, or you can email us dj@kjnu.org.
Oh,